Good to see everybody this afternoon. Colossians chapter 3, as we continue to work our way through the book of Colossians, but I want you to start out in Genesis. Genesis chapter 22 is where we're headed. Genesis, the 22nd chapter. Grateful and appreciative of Sunday school class. Earlier this afternoon, really some great thoughts that were shared there. Really appreciate the thoughts around the Lord's Supper table too. It really is about standing firm. You know, things aren't always going to go the way that we would like them to go, but we need to stand firm, stay faithful even through adversity. I think that's a theme that kind of went through both Sunday school and through Lord's Supper there. So really appreciated that from those guys. Let's look at Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to read verses 1 through 14 to start out. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 14. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham. He said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and return to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father! And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there, then arranged the wood, and bound his son Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. Let's pray. Great and glorious Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless this time. I pray that we would look intently at your scriptures and what they have to say, Lord God, the instruction that your scriptures have for us, Father. And I pray that we would work on making implementation of those scriptural principles. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pretty familiar account. Account of Abraham and Isaac. Isaac is the promised son. We're familiar with kind of what's taken place to get to this point of Isaac. You know, we had the whole Ishmael thing, right? Familiar with that. That's not quite how that was supposed to go. Okay, and then we have all sorts of other domestic trouble that resulted from the Ishmael thing, right? And finally, Abraham is 100 years old, Sarah is 90, and Isaac is born. The son of promise. All along, the son of promise was to be Isaac, and we have the son of promise. And God tells Abraham, he says, go sacrifice Isaac. the Son of Promise. And we know Isaac is the promised son. We know that in this account in particular, Isaac is an Old Testament type of Christ. The sacrifice, right, is he goes up and a type for us of God being willing to sacrifice his son, of the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made for our sins. Interesting, too. You can do your own research, give or take. I'm not saying one thing or another. But looks like the Mount Moriah is very close to what we would know as Mount Calvary, if not the very place that we would know of as Mount Calvary. Pretty cool. Okay, and so Isaac is a type of Christ here. And so Abraham is willing to sacrifice him, right? And it's a 3-day journey. And Hebrews tells us that he was considered what? As good as dead. Isaac is considered as good as dead in Abraham's mind for those 3 days. And then on the 3rd day, he gets his son back. Reminding us of anything here. So we know that, and I'm not going to preach about that today. And those things are really cool. But I want to take a look at this account from a little bit different of a perspective. Well, look at it from both Isaac and Abraham's perspective. Now, we don't know Isaac's exact age. There's been a lot of speculation on what his exact age is, and we don't know for sure what it is. Josephus says that Isaac was 25. Now, Josephus is quite a bit of time removed from Isaac. So what he's giving to us basically is Jewish tradition, but he says 25. Adam Clark says 33. That seems a little old to me, but who knows? We do know some things from the scriptures. Let's look at chapter 21 and verse 34. 21 and verse 34, right before we started picking it up. And Abraham sojourned in the land of the Philistines for many days. Now it came about after these things. So he sojourned in the land of the Philistines for many days. And it came about after these things that this took place. So it looks like there's quite a bit of time that has passed between the birth of Isaac and this account. What are some other things that we know about Isaac? Well, we know that Isaac goes with Abraham. Isaac is heading along with Abraham on this trip. It's a big trip. It's not a nothing trip. A 3-day trip. Okay? Now, I have a little bit of experience with long car rides, okay? I would much rather have a long car ride than a 3-day trip like this. 3-day trip where you're carrying the wood, there's a lot of stuff going. Yeah, some servants, looks like a couple of servants with him. I don't know, maybe camel, I don't know. Kind of interesting. But it's a long trip. I tell you what, me and Ember are not going on a 3-day trip, okay? This is not happening. We found out 24 hours is the max, okay? That's what we can do, okay? This is a long trip, and Isaac is going along with him. Verse 3 tells us that it was early in the morning, and some of you parents know how hard it can be to get a sleepy teenager out of bed. So, you know, it's early in the morning. They're getting up. They're going together. 3-day journey to Moriah. Isaac has a long time to think about what's going on here. Isaac, again, we don't know for sure, but I'm guessing he's at least a teenager, and if I had to guess, an older teenager. He's thinking about what's going on here. Okay, Dad wants to take me on a trip. This kind of came out of nowhere. Wasn't in the family planning meeting that we had. Didn't get any input. Now we're going on a trip. To Moriah. We're going to make sacrifice and burnt offering. And so they go along. Verse 4, on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder. We will worship and return to you." Just so you know, the Hebrew on lad there, we think of like lad. It basically is basically, if I remember correctly, it's the same word used for the young men earlier. So it's not very specific on age. I just thought that was interesting. So he's going to, they're going to worship and return to you after 3 days. Well, Isaac has went with them for these 3 days. He's had a lot of time to think about it, a lot of time to consider. Then Isaac carries the wood that his father puts on him. Well, you think that there might be a reason that Isaac's the one carrying the wood, not Abraham? Well, something like Abraham's 120 years old, maybe. Well, Isaac's the one carrying the wood. Now, there's a big difference between, get some of those older teenagers. One of the great things about older teenagers is they can work about as hard as a man can, can't they? So Isaac is carrying the wood. And Isaac is noticing there's not a burnt offering here. Pops, are you forgetting something? I think that you might be forgetting something. There's no burnt offering. And Abraham responds with, "The Lord will provide." And Isaac accepts that. He accepts the Lord will provide. Now think about most teenagers that you know. Okay. Are they going to accept that? I mean, he's obviously a smart kid. Smart young man. He said, where's the burnt offering? The Lord will provide. And Isaac accepts it. Okay? Put yourselves in Isaac's shoes for this too. Isaac watches Abraham build the altar. So Abraham has told him, okay, the Lord is going to provide. You're in Isaac's shoes. You're watching Abraham build the altar. Really clear that there's no sacrifice. And then he tells you to get on the altar and starts to bind you. Isaac's figured out what's going on. I think Isaac had it figured out. But what's he do? He allows him to, doesn't he? He lets him. I really believe pretty strongly he's letting him. Ask you a quick question. Who's your money on, an 18-year-old or a 118-year-old? I mean, I'm no Vegas expert, but I think the odds are on the 18, maybe the 25-year-old if Josephus is right. Okay, remember the ages. Okay, they weren't that dramatic. In Abraham's day, they weren't that dramatically different than our ages today. They were different, but they're not like Noah's day. Some of those people in Noah's days, they're first having kids at 125. That's something completely different. Their 125 is pretty close to ours. And so Isaac allows himself to be laid on top of the altar on the wood. So each of these details demonstrates a great amount of trust that Isaac had in Abraham. At any point during this, Isaac could have stopped, dug in his heels, demanded to know the details, overpowered Abraham, you name it. Said, we're putting an end to this right now. That's what we're going to do. Instead, Isaac willingly, thoughtfully trusts in his father's love and care for Isaac. Willingly, thoughtfully trusts in his father's love and care for him. If you look at verse 8 of this passage, says, and Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them walked on together. We noted earlier that Isaac accepted this. But I think that a lot is said in that little sentence that the scripture gives us there. So the two of them walked on together. I can't help but wonder if that's not an allusion to other walks that maybe Abraham and Isaac had together. Isaac accepts the answer that Abraham gives, and the scripture says the two of them walked on together. But that was probably a pretty comfortable walk. What do you bet? I mean, there's a lot on both of their minds. But they've had this walk together or other walks like it before. So I think the challenge for us as we look at Colossians 3, 20 and 21, I think the challenge for us as parents is how do we gain this kind of trust with our kids? How do we get this with our children? We want to be the type of parents that, like Abraham, have consistently and trained and walked with our kids. That we've listened to our kids. So the result is our kids trusting us completely. It takes listening to our kids to gain their trust. It does not develop overnight. Real trust rarely is developed overnight. And it looks a lot like things like catching the backyard, helping with homework, demonstrating how to do life, being consistent. But if we can gain that trust, we can do so much to help guide them towards the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, can't we? If we have kids who trust in us completely because we've demonstrated our love and care for them, a lot can get done. We can guide them to the place where we ultimately care the most that they go. So one of the guys was bringing out earlier, if it matters eternally, it matters now. We care about our kids' souls, don't we? We want our kids to make it to heaven. See, a lot of times we can get, a lot of things can make the really important things, I think Jeremy was talking about this, a lot of things can make the really important things a little bit cloudy and a little bit murky. One of the questions that helps ground me is, is this helping the kids make it to heaven? Yeah, my kids, my other kids in the kingdom. How can we help them make it to heaven? That question matters a lot, doesn't it? It's one of those actually important questions. And so Abraham obviously was the type of dad who developed the trust in his kid that his kid was going to go with him. Hebrews chapter 11. What about Abraham? Hebrews 11, verse 17. I was reading in 10, and I was like, that is not what I thought we were going to be talking about. Hebrews 11, that'll help. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Abraham had diligently trusted God. He knew that Isaac was the son of promise. He had the faith that the Lord would provide, even though he didn't quite know what the whole process entailed. He knew that it ended with his son being safely delivered back to him. See, the scripture tells us that Abraham was convinced that what he was doing would result in Isaac being returned back. He didn't know how. It says he considered that God was able to raise the dead. So, I know that Isaac is the son of promise. We tried to subvert God and make it Ishmael and run our own plan. That's not going to work. So I know specifically that Isaac's the one of promise. So, how's God going to do this? I don't know. Maybe he's going to raise him from the dead. I don't know. No. Did he know what God's specific details were to provide? No. He had no idea. The Lord providing a ram is what he actually did. But he was convinced that what God said he would do would result in his son coming back to him. Well, it's a challenge for us as parents too, isn't it? To have this kind of faith with our children. That if we follow the Lord's plan, that the Lord is going to provide a way of escape for our kids. The Lord provides many avenues of escape for our kids. He uses all sorts of things for our kids to be able to have a way of escape. The world wants to trap them. The world wants to get our kids. But the Lord will provide avenues of escape for our kids. Things like youth group, Sunday school, Christian education, youth events, other godly influences. See, as parents, it's our responsibility to prioritize the things that will help our kids eternally. To trust that God will provide a way of escape as we prepare life for them. What are the things that really matter? Does the Lord want what's best for our kids? Does the Lord know what's best for our kids? So, are we going to prioritize the things of the Lord's? We only have a short period of time. We want to make sure that they're prepared to spiritually flourish when they leave us. And when they leave us, we can feel secure knowing that the Lord will provide. Let's go back to Genesis 22. Genesis 22 and verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven. Genesis 22:15, and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. And we know that this in particular, in this account, this is talking about a specific blessing, right? And that blessing is being reiterated, and that's pointing towards the new covenant. But notice that after Abraham is willing to trust the Lord with his son of promise, Isaac, that the Lord blesses him. Isn't it also true for us that if we have faith and work with the Lord's plan, he's going to bless us and our children as well? We trust what he's going to do and work that plan that the Lord will provide. Going to provide for our kids. And we care about that a lot, don't we? concerned about that. We want what's best for our kids. And trusting them to the Lord is how we're going to provide what's best for our kids. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3:20-21. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, that they may not lose heart. See, parents, it's our responsibility to work hard to gain our children's trust, to not exasperate them. We want our children to listen to us. The best way that we can do that is to walk with them and listen. Abraham listened and walked with Isaac. Parents, we want to prepare them for the challenges that they're going to face, showing them to trust in the Lord. What challenges are we going to prioritize for our kids to be ready to face? When they come out of our house, they're going to know exactly how they need to invest their money. They're going to be budgeting pros. Is budgeting important? Yeah. Ask anybody who's in debt. Budgeting's important, right? Ask anybody who's not in debt. Budgeting's important. Like, budgeting's important. Okay? If our kids make it eternally, but they don't know how to budget, is it worth it? There's a lot of things that we have the opportunity and that we should teach our children. But ultimately, prioritizing their soul comes first. We got to show them on an individual level that we trust the Lord. They're going to pick up more on our trusting the Lord than our telling them how they need to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. The Lord will provide. Time is short. The amount of time that we have with our kids is short. Seems like a long time, especially when they're, you know, crying and teething and sick and like it's forever. Me and Brenna were talking recently and like, when do you think that we'll actually get to sleep again? Like, never. Like, somebody's been a parent for a lot longer than me was like, yeah, you 18 maybe. it'll be a while. But our time is relatively short. Because you know what? When they're gone, and if we're doing a good job, they're going to be start making some real individual decisions a long time before age 18 too, aren't they? We start establishing a lot of who they are already based upon the foundation that we give them. But we want to give them a foundation so that they're able to fly out from our houses. Short as our time is, 18 years is significant. Remember to keep the end goal of helping them to reach their potential in Christ in mind. Who they are today is not the ultimate reflection on you as a parent. No, I have known some rascally kids that have grown up to be awesome Christians. I have. You know what? Some kids are headstrong. Belligerent, right? But known some of those same kids that have been awesome Christians, and the difference between turning them into total obstinate people for the rest of their lives, okay, and people who really want to serve Jesus there's individual choice, okay, I'm not taking that away, but it has a lot to do with the way that their parents handled it. that we care so much about them as being a reflection of me today? Or am I worried about them when they're 25? Am I worried about them when they're dads? When they're husbands? That's what I'm training our kids for. So who they are today is not the ultimate reflection of you as a parent. Kids, appreciate your parents and the desire that they have to set you up for spiritual success. Okay? If you're here today, that says something about your parents' priorities. And ultimately, it says something about the care that your parents have for you. And the spiritual foundation that they want to set for you and the spiritual success that they want in your life. Kids, use the tools that you have. There are opportunities all around you. I named a number of them earlier in ways that God provides ways of escape. Ask questions at youth group. What a great opportunity. View it like a Bible study that is centered around you and your friends every single week. That's really what it is. That's what youth group is, isn't it? Ask questions. Figure out why. Engage. Challenge me on my sermon. This is great. I want you to. If you kids are paying enough attention to form a great question, that's great. Please. We want that because we want you to be engaged. We want you to be thinking, to be listening to. Get involved with other like-minded youth. There's a lot of the relationships that you make during our junior high school years, maybe one or two of them you'll keep. A lot of those relationships that seem so important, they fall away. But relationships with other like-minded youth in the kingdom, they can last into eternity. Develop those relationships. Those are the ones that are really important. So when we're looking at Colossians 3, 20 and 21, I think that no matter where we find ourselves, there's plenty to be able to work on. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they may not lose heart. I don't know about you, but I think I got some work to do. Probably you do too. Let's get to work. Bob?